is Jared of the GM on ESPN 102.5. The game, Titans and Bucks practice today. I was out there. We've got a bunch of takeaways. We'll get to those. But Floyd, we start today's show with the Ryan Ellis press conferences. Ryan Ellis has just signed his new extension earlier in the week. Ryan Ellis and David Poyle now at Bridgestone Arena at the podium. That's how we'll start today's show.
Reach that goal. It is a proud moment for the franchise because Ryan's desire to commit to Nashville and for our team to commit to he and his family, I think, are an example of what we want to be as an organization, both on and off the ice. This commitment for us wanting Ryan to be a member of our team long term and for Ryan wanting to stay in Nashville long term, I think really does give us that chance to compete for the Stanley Cup. And in my opinion, that was the overriding reason why we got this deal done. In our contract negotiation conversations, it became very clear to me that, you know, despite the differences that you have, that Ryan and Kate wanted to be here in Nashville for hopefully his entire career. And that's something that I think is very exciting. I think Ryan does. And in this day and age, that's not often that the player gets a chance to maybe play his whole career in one city. And that's hopefully I'll do everything. And I know Ryan will do everything to try to make that happen. We drafted Ryan way back in 2009, he's now just finished his seventh season playing for our team, and I think he knows as well as anybody firsthand how good of a hockey town Nashville has become and how great our fans are and our sold-out building and just the passion that everybody has for our team right now. And I think, speaking for myself, it certainly feels right that Ryan's going to be here long-term, and I think probably in his remarks, I would hope and expect that he'd probably say the same thing, that this feels like home for he and Kate. Ryan is a huge part of our team, a huge part of our leadership group. I mean, last year, I think we showed great confidence in him in terms of naming him associate captain last summer, and I think he proved to us with his play how valuable he is, not only on our team on the ice, but off the ice. He's a respected voice in our locker room, combined with his great play, I think we're very fortunate to have him for the foreseeable future or beyond what I think is a foreseeable future. Last year was your best year, I think highs and assists, plus minus. Just looking at this, you were the highest plus minus defenseman in our team history last year. And you have that knack for doing those clutch plays. You scored 7 goals when we were either trailing or the game was tied. So you've played a total of 396 games for the Predators, your 6th highest in points by defenseman in our team history, and I think we'd all agree as you're one of our top playoff performers. So last week you were named as one of the 20 best defensemen in the National Hockey League by the NHL Network, and I think we'd all agree that Ryan fits in perfectly with our defense core with Roman Josi, PK, and Mattias Ekholm. So I know, as I told you this morning, when I I watched you play junior, and I'll tell this to anybody, I thought Ryan's perhaps the best junior that I've ever seen play, and I've seen lots of players play over my time, but he was a special, special player. We had that feeling when we drafted you in 2009, and here we are 9 years later. I'm very proud that you're still an important member of this franchise, and you will be for years to come. So congratulations, Ryan.
Well, David didn't really save much for me to say, but this is an extremely exciting time for not only me, but my family and the entire organization. And going through this process, it's nobody really wants to go through negotiation, but I knew in the back of my head that something was going to get done and I was going to be in Nashville, and it never crossed my mind that anything else or to go anywhere else. And it's an exciting time in Nashville right now. We have an unbelievable team, and I'm talking with David this morning. We've been building something the last couple of years, and it's snowballing into something bigger and bigger every year. And we're really hoping this year is the year, and if not, we can keep doing it every year. And that's the one thing that really excited me is this team's going to compete for a long time, and I wanted to be a part of that. And after having my hand in building part of it, I wanted to continue and stay here, especially long term. My family loves it. I just got married, and she was probably twisting my arm more than myself to get signed here. And we absolutely love it. And There was no other place that we wanted to be. So that being said, we are extremely excited to be here for, like you said, the foreseeable future and into 2027. So. I mean, I'm getting paid more than enough to play hockey, and I'm very excited to be able to do that for a long time. And it was just about coming across a fair deal and what worked for both sides. And we have other guys that, you know, need to be re-upped and need to be signed in the future. And I had to do my part to keep this thing going in the right direction. And if we can keep everyone here and keep the core together, I think we can compete for a Stanley Cup for the next 10 years at least. And I mean, that's bold to say, but I think we believe a lot in the people that we have in our room and in our coach, our GM, our entire organization. And I just really wanted to be a part of it. Well, I think it starts with the city, the fans, the organization, the lifestyle here. It suits hockey players. I think you see a lot of hockey players that are, you know, quiet, humble, and just kind of want to fit in. And I think that's a lot of our team. And Nashville's the perfect place to do that. So I think it starts there, and then you get to the rink every day, and the way this team operates, and the success we've had recently, and even in the past, that. You know that something great is coming, and it's coming soon, and everyone wants to win. I think if you ask anyone in our locker room what's the end-all goal at the end of your hockey career, and it's to be a Stanley Cup champion, and I think this is the place that we have the best opportunity to do that. Well, I wasn't on the phone call, so I'm sure my side was probably saying a lot of them, and that's probably where he might have got a couple of them from. But.
I've been saving them. I had them all in my head, but I've been saving them, yes.
No, it was a good process. It's like I said, no hockey player, no athlete ever wants to go through those negotiations. They ultimately just want to go out and play, and I'm happy that it's over, and we're both excited, and it's going to be a great season, and hopefully we have a lot of great ones after that too.
So that was Preds defenseman Ryan Ellis at the podium. Ellis with the new contract right there. And when I heard, you know, we talked about, did he take a hometown discount? Did he not take a hometown discount? All those kind of things. But Floyd, when I heard Ryan Ellis say, you know, my wife was on me about when's the deal going to get done? When's it going to get done? Because she wanted it to get done. I'm kind of like, well, if the wife wants the deal to get done, then that is an impetus to find a way to get the deal done. Again, I think Ryan Ellis took a hometown discount for the Predators. I think that that's a good, you know, omen for what this team can be and all those things. But you know what my big takeaway is now that they've signed Ellis to this contract and free agency is basically over?
What's that?
Get the season. You know, like, I'm ready for the season. Like, to me, there's no more anything until training camp starts, really.
Which isn't that far away.
No, it's not. Okay, to the Titans. Titans practice today with the Tampa Bay Bucks, and the Titans practice today with the Bucks, and here at the practice, I went today, and I have like one big takeaway that kind of bothered me from today's practice from a Titans standpoint, and that is, when they went into team periods, I felt like Marcus just didn't have enough help. I felt like the offensive line kind of let him down. I thought the Titans' offensive line was overpowered by the Bucks' defensive line. Other than Corey Davis, because Delanie Walker got hurt, we have no idea what's up with Delanie Walker. But once Delanie Walker went out, Marcus, like in the 2 minute and in the team period, I mean, he was looking for Davis. And if he wasn't throwing to Davis, honestly, his second target was Nick Williams.
That's a shocker.
I mean, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I mean, how we talked about this all last year, and I believe that last year the receivers and the line and DeMarco Murray's injury let Marcus down, that it hurt Marcus because of all those things. And here we are today, and I'm sitting here watching this in practice, and I'm like, oh, Marcus is on the run again. Oh, Marcus is trying to find someone to throw it to who's not named Davis. I mean, thank God Davis is back, because if Davis wasn't back, they would have no one to throw the ball to. So, Floyd, today that was my biggest takeaway, and I have a lot of different ones. You know, the defense looked okay, but that's my biggest takeaway right now is, I mean, I don't think Tampa is this great defensive team. You know, this is not the Tampa Bay Bucs of 2002. And so I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, Marcus is going to need some help this year.
I think their defensive front is going to be pretty stout. Now, I don't know about the secondary. I'm talking about Tampa's secondary. Mm-hmm. You know, leaves me a little bit cold. But I think their front seven group could be pretty good. The defensive line, I think, is going to put more pressure on you. I think that linebacker group can run. I mean, they're athletic. They really are. And so that's going to cover a lot of ground for them. Now, if you can't cover up the deficiencies in the back end with the pass rush, then, you know, maybe you're going to be in trouble.
But I'm not looking for a breakdown of Tampa. I'm looking at the Titans.
Right.
He needs more help.
Well, I think you have to keep in mind you've got a new system. I mean, they are going through and still learning this system. And I think when you go against a team like this or in these preseason games with a new system, I mean, if you're trying to do a lot of stuff like they are in practice, I think it compounds the problems. I think we saw it last week when they went into that first series. Now, it was only one series, but that first series, they had a very obvious game plan, you know, things mm-hmm. they were going to get done in that series or the next series or whatever it is. And they got those things done, and then they were out of it. You know, then they changed it up, and okay, let's go again. So, I mean, in my mind, I think we need to look this week for an expansion of all that. Okay, now instead of one series, we need to see that for three series, four series, however many, you know, a quarter, whatever it is they're going to play.
Do you think Mariota has the help he needs right now? And again, remember, Delanie Walker was out today. So I was so unimpressed with the Titans' offensive line today. And I'm thinking about, you know, look, Mariota, there's no quarterback in the league other than Brady and Rodgers who can do it on their own. And Marcus is not in that category yet. Breeze, two, three. Like, Marcus is not in that category. Matthews is out. Delaney's out. We don't know how long for. The line didn't love. The one thing I liked was Davis today. And so do you feel like he has the help he needs to be successful?
If they're all out there and all playing, yeah.
Well, but I'm talking about right now.
Well, no, right now you get your number one guy or close to number one or two, whatever, Matthew, he's not going to be in there. You've got probably your number one or two or three or wherever you want to put Walker is not in there. I mean, you take all those guys in there and you throw in a bunch of backups and in a drill where, you know, they're going to get a pretty good pass rush and you're going to need to hold the ball a little bit longer and then it becomes chaos. Now, I wasn't there, so I didn't see the practice, so I don't know. I don't know exactly what happened, but I wouldn't be shocked if those things were to happen. I mean, the truth is Tampa Bay's offense should look much better against our defense.
And they did.
Simply because they've been with, you know, Dirk for, his third year, I think.
No, he's been there even longer because he was the coordinator.
That's right.
You know, he's been there with Winston for the whole time.
So he's been there, you know, the whole deal. And they should be much more groomed, much better prepared.
So that's my takeaway from practice today. I am worried Mariota doesn't have enough help. And even when all those guys come back, Matthews, Walker, etc., I still think there's a question about whether or not Mariota has enough help. So we're starting on the offense today. You can get in 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 is the phone number to get in. I asked Corey Davis one thing that I think the offense could get better at. We'll hear his response next. It's Jared, the GM. We're live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. in Mount Juliet on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Has there been a concerted effort to get the ball to Corey Davis more? It seemed like you were targeting him a lot, especially on play action today.
I think that's just kind of how it happened. You know, really, when it comes down to it, we try to execute our reads. Corey did a great job of finding open windows and made some plays for us.
That was Mariota yesterday, and I will say, being at practice today, he was definitely targeting Corey Davis. But how can you blame him? The rest of the first-team offense was Taylor and Sharp and Jonnu Smith. And now, I should say this when I say that I felt like Marcus is not getting enough help right now from the offense. We don't know about the running game because I can't watch these practices and get any idea of the running game.
Right.
They're not wearing the pants, and they can't tackle them. So a guy like Derrick Henry, who you want to have that first hit and then go forward for 4 yards, well, you know, they can't. They don't do that in these practices.
And all the guys that are pass rushers, true pass rushers, don't care. They don't care about the run to begin with. But they certainly don't care about the run when you can't tackle them and you can't. So what are they doing? Every snap, they're getting off the ball, you know, like it's 3rd and 10. So it's the pressure is always there.
I just think when Delanie Walker went out, Marcus did not have enough help today. And I'm telling you, his number one target was Davis by far, and his number two target was Nick Williams. And I'll give Nick Williams credit again because he made some nice plays out there.
What about the rubs?
I didn't see that part.
No rubs?
I think that they needed him to catch today.
Okay.
They were, you know, like right now, if the Titans offense was a baseball lineup, Nick Williams would be hitting fifth. Like, that is not the recipe for success against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I love Nick Williams, but that is not the recipe for success.
Now, I'll say this. Anytime with that offense that Delanie's out of it, I mean, your production's cut by 25-30%, whatever it is, passing game production.
So I asked Corey Davis today, I asked him about the one thing that he felt like the offense needed to improve on. This is that interaction.
If there's one thing the offense can improve on between now and the start of the season, what's the one thing that you guys discuss a lot?
One thing. I probably couldn't say one thing. It's an accumulation of a lot of things, actually. There's never one thing that we focus on. We always focus on the entirety of the offense. You know, football is a team game, and it takes all 11 to do their job. So whether that's wideouts coming down the block or whatever it may be, we each got to do our part for one another.
So I asked him to, you know, one thing that you guys got to focus on, one thing you got to work on, one.
That was good comeback for not having an answer.
That was a right head scratcher.
11 guys.
And I'm not knocking Corey here. But my thing is, like, you know, there's got to be something that you focus on that you got to. And I'm worried that it's personnel, man. Like, now, Corey can't focus on personnel, but I'm worried it's just not enough firepower in the gun. Now, again, Delanie was out, and we don't know how serious it was, although he went off with a doctor, not a trainer, so I'm a little concerned about that.
Did he walk off?
He did walk off.
Foot, right?
He did walk. I don't know if it was his foot, but he did walk off. Walked gingerly, but he did walk off the football field. So then I asked Jarrell Casey the same question. You know, what's the one thing the defense needs to work on? This is Jarrell Casey.
What do you think the one thing you guys are looking to get better at now that camp's coming to an end before the season starts?
Biggest thing is just make sure we win third down. That's everything. You know, rushing cover go hand in hand. So make sure we help our guys on the back end and our back ends help us up front.
So Jarrell knows exactly. That tells me that's what Dean's preaching to them right now. If I can ask Jarrell and Jarrell goes right to it. Now, again, Casey's like an 8-year vet and Corey Davis is in his second year. But I just, like, I feel like there is kind of something in that, the fact that Corey Davis took a while to kind of figure out one thing and then didn't really have an answer, and Casey went right to it.
And again, I mean, I agree with you. But again, I think it's, you know, how much does Corey really know about this offense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much does he know? How good a feel does he have for the things that really are going well and the things that really aren't going well? And I'm not sure. You know, he knows that if he goes down there and gets open, Marcus is going to throw him the ball. All that's well and good. But if you ask him about, you know, how's the offensive line run blocking, I'm not sure he'd have a great answer for you. And it wouldn't surprise me.
But wouldn't Corey Davis in those offensive meetings, wouldn't there be something that Matt LaFleur is preaching to them? Like, hey, we have got to be better at this, you know? Like how Vrabel always preaches, know what to do, play fast and aggressive.
Right.
And Corey say, well, this is what we need to do. And it's exactly what Matt LaFleur is telling them.
Well, I think if you would ask him about him or the receivers, he might have had a better answer than ask him about the whole offense. He's kind of, man, I don't know.
Well, I'm worried about the offense after practice today. Let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025. JP, going to kick us off on the Titans wide receivers. What you got, JP?
Hey, we got a new coach to help Marcus. The one thing we really need is Dez Bryant. Winning will help the locker room. Dez will help Marcus. What do you guys think? I'll hang up.
Thank you, JP Floyd.
Yeah, we know what I think. I think two or three things. I mean, first of all, we remember Dez from 5 years ago. That's not what Dez is now. Dez can't run anymore. He struggles to get open. And if he doesn't get open or he doesn't get the ball, we all know he is not a happy player. And if he's not a happy player, then I think it starts influencing everybody. So for me, just me, I wouldn't take the chance. And forget the football part. I wouldn't take the chance for the locker room part. But I don't think he would give you. I mean, he is.
Mike and John have told you they're not bringing those kind of guys in. You know, like they haven't said
several times. Yeah.
But it's obvious they're not bringing those guys in. You know what team brings those guys in? The team that brings in Antonio Callaway, who was suspended 50 times at Florida. The team that keeps rolling with Josh Gordon. Even has he even shown up yet for training camp or anything?
No,
like that?
I don't think so.
So that's the kind of team that brings Dez Bryant in.
What they need is another electric personality in the receiving meeting room.
I mean,
the receiver coach is going to be institutionalized.
Like, you just took the crotch grabber who runs from the cops number one overall. I mean, seriously, Cleveland doesn't care about that stuff. Certain teams don't care about it. Certain teams do. To me, Mike and John have made it obvious they're not going to bring a Dez Bryant personality type in here. But if it was just Dez the player and not Dez the personality, I would at least consider it right now, considering we have no idea what's wrong with Matthews. And it's obviously something serious because he's not even pretending to try to – I mean, he's not even pretending to even be near the practice.
Did he even work out before the workout?
I don't know if he did or didn't. But I know Evans did. I don't know if Matthews did. And honestly, I don't even care if he did or didn't. You know, he could have dandruff. He could have Lyme disease. He could have a blood clot. I don't know what he has, but it's something serious. So it's probably not dandruff.
Sure, taking a long time.
And I don't think he even has hair, so it's probably not dandruff. But again.
And he went through all the OTAs and all that stuff, right?
Well, he was hurt at the end of the OTAs. He and Davis sat out like the very end of the OTAs. And Vrabel said that he thought that they'd be back for training camp. And yet, the only way that we know he participated in an OTA, because he didn't do any of the open to the public stuff, but in the Igniting the Fire documentary or whatever, they showed him in the OTAs with a helmet on the field making a catch. Mm-hmm. So that's the only time in the history of Mike Vrabel being a Titans football coach that anyone has seen Rishard Matthews on the practice field, which again tells me there is something serious going on there, and I'm not even going to pretend to guess what it is. We'll take more of your calls. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Did you know? And well, coming up next, Delaney hurt today. Again, I saw him walking gingerly off the practice field with a doctor. I don't know if that's a bad sign, good sign, one way or another. Vrabel was asked about Delaney today. We'll get to that. And then, what do we think about the idea of Delaney being out? We'll get to that coming up next. Did you know an estimated 1.2 million people in the United States are living with or are in a remission from a blood cancer? Join ESPN The Game Nashville for the Light the Night Walk at Nissan Stadium on Friday, November 2nd. You could be the difference in saving a life by being a part of the 2018 Light the Night Walk. For more details, to be part of the event or to contribute to the ESPN The Game Nashville team, visit thegamenashville.com. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
What's up with Delaney?
He's being looked at. I'll let you know after. I probably won't let you know, but hopefully he'll be okay.
I guess they thought maybe he'd answer the question.
I guess. I mean, he's turned down injury questions for 2 weeks now, but today he was going to answer that one.
I thought it was You don't think it was a good question to ask?
Why are you asking a question? It's a waste of time. I could have given you that answer. He just got off the. You know what? What we're going to do is we're going to take him in and X-ray him, and the doctors are going to check, and then we'll find out about it later on. Okay, thank you. What is that? So, I mean, he's not going to tell us about injuries, people. Not going to tell us.
And even in that case, like, how's he going to know what's wrong with Delaney? Delaney, at that practice, had walked off.
Oh, this was probably the first time he gave you the truly honest answer, which was he didn't know.
Right. Like, I always feel like it's like, hey, coach, he's out. Okay. Then after practice, when they're all saying, okay, what's the injury report? All right, Johnson's got a bruised foot. He should be good tomorrow. Thompson's got a pulled hamstring. He's probably going to be out for 2 to 3 days. And Walker's got a broken foot. He's out for 6 weeks. Like, that is how that works, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
So right now, Vrabel wouldn't know anyways. But anywho, I digress. Vrabel is not going to tell you. But Delaney walked off the field with a doctor gingerly. And then team period came. And as I said at the top of the show, I have no idea who Marcus wanted to throw to other than Corey Davis. And I said to you during a break, I said, I think right now if the Titans were to play a game today, like a real game, Nick Williams is the third receiver. As in, I think Davis is outside, Taylor is outside, and Nick Williams is the third wide receiver. And what'd you say to me when I said that?
We won't win a game.
So there you go. How worried should you be about the Delaney injury until you see Delaney back on the field? Because once again, you're not going to get an update from the coach.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be worried simply because you don't know what it is. Now, thankfully, he's been a pretty durable guy, you know, and it could have been, we don't know what this is. You know, he could have just rolled his ankle a little bit. He could have got stepped on. I mean, there's a multitude of things that it could have been. But by the same token, you know, it could have been a fifth metatarsal. It could have been.
Could be a broken foot.
Yeah, you can go. It could be turf toe. Could be. You can go through it the
Liz
other
Frank.
Way.
So the way I add this up is this. This is the biggest injury so far to camp. Because even though Evans, we don't know what his deal is. Again, I think Rashawn Evans has a concussion. But Evans, you know, that's a tough blow for the team early on because Evans does need to be out there and they need to be getting him in there. But you have Compton and you have Jayon Brown, and Evans is a rookie, and he's with Matthews. Yes, he's probably your most dependable wide receiver, but you have Davis and a running game. And if Delaney's in there, you got him. This, as of right now, is the biggest camp injury, because if Delaney Walker is actually hurt significantly, you are screwed.
Well, you're going to lose a giant chunk of your offense, your passing offense, because we all know how good he is. We all know the connection that Marcus and Delaney have. And I think they have complete confidence in each other, and I think they play that way. And it was like you were talking today about it. It seemed like he was looking for Davis a lot. Well, if Delaney's in there, then it gives him another person to look at a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, now he's got a second or a third choice rather than just one force the ball in there.
So, like, when they went to the 2 minute especially, but Marcus today in the team periods against Tampa Bay, I felt there was a lot of him taking the snap, him kind of, you know, taking the snap and making the initial read, and then immediately he was kind of on the move, and he was on the move looking for someone to throw to, and it was the kind of panicked Marcus looking for someone to throw the ball to and not the comfortable Marcus looking for someone to throw the ball to. And I feel like panicked Marcus leads to a lot of incompletions and interceptions, and comfortable Marcus leads to beautiful, accurate throws. And I am worried about that a little bit, especially if Delaney's not in there. But I know you're high on the Bucs D-line, and you should be. Vinnie Curry and JPP and those guys. But still, it's the Bucs. It's not like a great – it's not the Eagles' defense. It's not the Jaguars' defense who you get in week three. It's not any of that. And I liken the Bucs to a team like Miami, who you'll play in week one, where if you stink it up, Miami will beat you in week one. Now, if you go out there and play good football, you should beat the Dolphins. But if you stink it up, you're in trouble. And I feel like the Bucs are very similar to Miami in that regard. And I just felt like Tampa moved the ball easy on the Titans' defense, and Marcus was having a heck of a time out there today trying to find somebody to get the ball to.
Well, again, I think the defense, their defensive line may be the first or second best part of that whole team.
I thought you were about to say the best in the NFL. I was going, whoa.
No, of that team. And they've got some legitimate guys. I mean, JPP and McCoy and Curry.
They're bad boys.
I mean, those guys are for real. And so I think if they're in a drill where they're not worrying about the run at all and they're coming off the ball every snap, I mean, it can get – those pockets can shrink quickly. And so I don't – and it's not really fair to the offense. But you would like to think that's going on the other side, and you make it sound like it wasn't. You know, you'd like to think that our defensive line would be thinking the same thing. Mm-hmm. And, okay, you know, let's don't worry about the run. They don't have a running game. Let's go ahead and come off the ball and put some pressure on the quarterback. Now, we know it's not – you're not sacking the quarterback. You're not hitting the quarterback. But you can still confine that pocket.
This time last week, I was super worried about the offense going into the Green Bay game. Then they go into the Green Bay game. The offense goes right down the field and scores a touchdown. And then I felt great about the offense. Here I am today, a little nervous about the offense after what I saw. Do you understand my concerns? Do you validate those concerns? Do you have the same concerns?
Well, I don't know that I do have the same concerns, but I didn't see practice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you saw it, and I didn't, so you have an advantage. I mean, I would agree with you from this aspect. I mean, the Delanie Walker injury could be significant. And that does concern me a little bit.
I mean, I look at it right. You're not beating Jacksonville without Delanie Walker. Without even the threat of Delanie Walker, it just makes it so much harder.
Yeah, I mean, there may be, and I have no clue. Have not looked, do not know. There may be a trade out there you could make to replace if he wasn't there.
But that's better than Jonnu Smith?
And all that stuff, yeah, that would be better than Jonnu. I don't know who it would be. Have not even looked. But that's a possibility, and so, you know, it's not – you certainly don't want it to happen. I mean, that's – let's start there. I mean, Delanie is our guy, and we want him out there. But if it's not – you know, if you're not that fortunate, then there may be other pathways. But they're not easy pathways.
Well, when I hear it's a foot injury to Delanie Walker, that does not make me comfortable. That, if nothing else, really bothers me. I do not like feet injuries, and I do not like hand injuries. You know, yesterday I was watching the Braves game. Ronald Acuna gets hit in the forearm with the baseball, and at first I thought it might have been the wrist or the hand. And I'm worried that one of those little bones in the wrist or the hand's broken, and now that guy may never be the same player ever again. And feet are the same way.
And football, you can live with those.
Oh, yeah,
you
with
know,
the hand,
football,
yeah.
You break all those little bones, and it'll hurt not to tape it up. But you go, but baseball?
You're trying to hit.
Yeah, you're trying to hit. You're trying to throw. You're trying to do some of those things.
But in football, the little bones in the feet.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you hate the little bones in the feet.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've had a bunch of careers cut short, you know, marred, changed because of the fifth metatarsal. So it's not one of my favorite parts of the body.
So I think the Delanie Walker injury, I think we should all be on very high concern, at least high alert or whatever have you on the Delanie Walker injury. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Somebody at ESPN is very high on the Titans. Very high, apparently. And not just on the Titans, but also on Marcus. You'll hear why next. It's Jared and the GM. And it's one of the real people at ESPN, like one of the good people. Like one of the people, I'm sure there's a lot of you out there that are thinking, I'm telling you, it's one of the people you all like. 615-737-1025. It's Jared and the GM. Can you confirm for the people, Floyd, that this is somebody that they like?
Oh, they'll know who this is.
Okay, and that they like him?
Oh, yeah, I think they do.
Okay, 615-737-1025. MTSU's athletic department is hosting its annual Fan Day on Sunday, August 19th, inside of Floyd Stadium from 2 to 4. The event is free and open to the public, so come out, meet players, enjoy the inflatables, giveaways, autographs, and photo sessions, along with free food and drinks. For more information, head to thegamenashville.com under the events tab. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
How do you feel with Marcus? You know, yesterday Mike said that Marcus feels like he can throw to a spot and you'll be there. How do you feel in terms of where you are with him?
I feel good, honestly. We've throughout this whole camp, we've been working on that a lot, just the timing and our chemistry. So we've come a long way, but we definitely still got some work to do. You know, as always, we're never going to be where we want to be, but Mark is a great guy, great quarterback, and he definitely makes my job easier.
Corey Davis, add him to the list of people that love playing with Marcus Mariota right there. That, it's always telling, every time you ask somebody that's on the Titans about Marcus, they always talk about how great, everybody on the Titans believes Marcus is a great quarterback. That I'm convinced of. And they all talk about he's a great guy, just like Corey Davis there. They are playing the Bucs. Joe Rexroad wrote a column in the Tennessean. Now, I think the whole Winston Mariota thing is over with anyways. But they do play each other, theoretically, in a preseason game this week. So, on Golic and Wingo this morning, Jason Fitz asked Sal Palantonio.
Fitzy.
Fitzy might have been doing a little dirty work for us, which we appreciate. Fitzy asked Sal Palantonio what he thought about Mariota and Winston, and listen to what Sal Pal has to say about Marcus.
I always like to ask the opinions of smart minds on some of the quarterbacks that we've had around the league a couple of years. We're waiting to see a leap forward. So when you look at the Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota conversation that we've had so much talk about over the past few years, do you look at either of those guys and say, as players, just ready to take some sort of a gigantic leap?
Well, let's look at Marcus Mariota first. Yes, absolutely. Why? Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel coming in. I think Mike Vrabel and Matt Patricia, we haven't had the kind of success from the Bill Belichick acolytes who have become head coaches over the years that you would think he would have. I think these two guys will change that. I think, and specifically Vrabel with Marcus Mariota in that division. Vrabel's a smart, tough guy. And I think he's going to get the most out of Marcus Mariota.
Well, I mean, Sal Pal seems fired up about Mariota and Vrabel. What do you think of that?
Acolytes? Is that correct?
I don't know.
Oh. I'm still trying to figure that word out.
Look, Sal Pal makes a lot of money, man. I'm not trying to.
Yeah, he's smarter than we are, right?
What did you think of what Sal? I mean, I believe that Mike Vrabel was hired to the Titans because of Mariota in the sense of they did not like the last coach with Mariota. So they wanted a new coach with Mariota, but they wanted Vrabel, and then they brought LaFleur in to be the one that's kind of supposed to make Mariota what he is. Sal Pal says it's Vrabel and Mariota, and he loves the combination. How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't think, I mean, I think he's kind of said what we said yesterday. We were talking about, we said, this is his fourth year. We said, this is the year that he needs to start showing. If in fact he is going to move a table closer to the big table, then this would be the year to start doing that, which means he needs to start showing that he can win games against good teams, and he needs to start showing that if he has to, on his own, or pretty much on his own, he can win a game against a bad team. And once you get to that point, then I think you start, you know how people were with McNair, you know, just give us the ball back with 2 minutes. Just give us that, and we can go ahead, and we can do it. And rightly or wrongly, people had that kind of belief in Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you start winning games like that, people have that belief in you. As long as Marcus has the ball, we've got a chance to win.
I actually think that I feel that way now about Marcus. The thing that I don't see with Marcus right now is you brought up the can he win it on his own. Well, if things stick the way they are right now, say Delaney's out and Rishard Matthews is out, he probably is going to have to win some games on his own because he's not going to have anybody to throw the football to. I don't think Marcus is ready for that yet, and I don't think it's fair to pin that on Marcus right now to say, okay, it's on you to win them the game. I think of it like, you know, can Vrabel put Marcus in situations to succeed? And that kind of extends to Matt LaFleur. Can they put him in situations to succeed? And so to me, I think the number one thing to put Marcus in a situation to succeed this year is to make sure that running game works. With Henry and Lewis and Flewellen, make sure that running game works, because then it's third down and four.
Right. But see, that's the way we've done it for the last couple of years. And I don't disagree with that at all from a general football standpoint. You know, you don't have complete confidence in your quarterback. What are you going to do? We better be able to run the ball.
It's not confidence in the quarterback. It's confidence in the fact that Nick Williams might be your third receiver right now.
For whatever reason. You know, whether it's he's not able to throw it or he doesn't have anybody to throw it to, either way, you want to take it out of his hands. And by taking it out of his hands, I think you may win the games and you may do what you want. But if that were to be, you know, your game plan for the season, by the end of the season, you're kind of where you are now, which is you're saying, is Marcus ready for the big boy table? I don't know. But we have the number one rushing offense in the league and we won 10 games. And so there you are. And I'm not saying it's good, bad, or indifferent. I'm just saying you don't know any more than you know right now. And I think we need to be able to get to a point with Marcus where instead of them saying that, instead of them saying, well, Marcus can't do this, so we've got to turn around and hand it to, you know, whatever. They got to say, Marcus will find those guys. He'll get the ball to them. Everything will be fine. We got to go ahead and do this.
Well, he also needs help, though, from the play calling. You know, we talked about the New England game. In the New England game, Marcus's stats were not bad. Marcus got sacked 9 times or whatever. So, and I know Vrabel kept bringing it up over and over and over again. He goes, there's no reason that Tom Brady should throw 8 screens and Marcus should only throw 1. And I think it was you that said that when somebody sacks you 9 times, you need to throw a screen.
Oh, a few of them, yeah.
And so I think the play calling's got to help him out. But he was not bad in the New England game. He was really good in the second half of the Kansas City game. You know, I do feel personally, when you go back to the end of the Jacksonville game and the end of the Kansas City game, I feel like if Mariota gets the ball with a chance to win at the end of the game, he's going to make the play to win you the game. That's why I was so mad last year in the San Francisco game, where a 3rd-and-2 to win the football game, Mike Mularkey hands it off to DeMarco Murray up the shotgun instead of giving the ball to Marcus, who had been great in that football game. I'm like, put the ball in his hands, even if that means letting him run or doing some kind of read option or letting him throw it. Like, put it in his hands, because I think he can do those things now.
Yeah, but let's go back 2 weeks earlier to
the Arizona game.
Arizona and San Francisco.
Horrible.
Well, you don't, when you see him play that way in those games, you don't turn around a week later and say, oh, let's put it back in his hands. You're saying, whoa, wait a minute now. We saw what happened the last time we tried to do that. Let's turn around and give it to the running back, and let's play that kind of ball.
I mean, the Arizona game, he just threw it right to the guy. The middle linebacker was standing right there, looking right at him, and Marcus threw it as if the guy didn't exist, as if he were invisible. So I hear you, but the way he finished the season, especially the Jacksonville and Kansas City games, I feel like he can do it.
See,
but not for the same reason Sal Powell does.
Keep in mind the Kansas City game. What happened in the second half of the Kansas City game?
They turned around and gave it to Derrick Henry.
For 130 yards or something. He gained like 100 yards in the second half. Well, that's not putting it in the quarterback's hands.
Now, a couple of those. First of all, the 35-yard touchdown from Henry, John Gruden pointed out on the replay, was a play Mariota had switched sides to or whatever. Gruden said Mariota made the read on that one. And then the other one for Henry, the other big run, Mariota threw a block for. So I would give Mariota credit for both of those.
Once again, that is not the quarterback throwing the ball.
I know.
Okay, the quarterback's throw. Running back's run.
What was the game-winning throw? Decker, who can't catch, who, by the way, is back to dropping balls in practice at New England. Decker up the seam for the touchdown. Beautiful throw.
Yes. After he overthrew a wide open Corey Davis by 5 yards.
Robert is in Nashville, and he's up next. Thank you for calling. You go ahead, Robert.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Robert.
Hey, how you doing there, Fluid? You doing all right?
Super.
Good. Well, I was listening to you guys here a minute ago, and, you said something that, you know, I guess a lot of people probably saying too, they have been putting Marcus in a real good position every year to try to win. You think about it, they've been giving them, you know, some running backs, you know, that, let's face it, if Tom Brady had those guys, Tom Brady would be even better. But with that being said, I just think Marcus has got to get the ball out of his hands quick. He's got to practice like Tom Brady. He's got to, know who to throw to in his progressions. He can't just sit back there and think that he's in college and hold the ball the way that he does. That's why Marcus is getting sacked. So we're in the NFL. They're in the NFL. Those guys are not going to let him eat lunch back here unless he's Tom Brady. So let's face it, he's got – and even Tom Brady gets that ball out real fast. So Marcus has just got to get that ball out fast and, you know, try to throw it to the right person. That's all, guys. Thanks.
Robert, how can you make the case that they've been giving him a chance to win when you hated the coach?
I'm sorry, what now?
How you did not like Mike Mularkey, and yet you say that in the past they were giving him a chance to win.
No, you're right. I didn't like that Mularkey freak because Mike Mularkey, he put them all in a bad situation to lose the game. Who takes the team down and, you know, they got a chance to win the game, and then you're going to go for it doing some boneheaded plays. So Mike Mularkey, he's a freak. So we got a good coach here. So I just think that if, you know, Marcus go in and listen to him, they got a chance to win some games. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Robert. And that's exactly what Sal Powell said, basically. Just listen, hey, you got Vrabel. That's why he believes in Marcus, because of Vrabel. I guess Robert in Nashville believes the same thing. What do you think about Robert's claim of Marcus needing to get the ball out faster? I think that is a valid claim.
There's something to that. I mean, I think we talked about this yesterday, and I think let's hope that it's maybe the opening of a window when he anticipated where Davis was going to be and threw the ball before he really wanted to. And it was a completion for a big play. And if you can do that and have some success, that is the difference between a Tom Brady and whomever else. You know, other people have to see them. They want to make sure they're open because they're scared to death they're going to throw the interception. If you're on the same page with your receivers, you're confident in your receivers, you can throw it knowing he will be there. And that's the difference.
I have positions in front of me. For example, one of them is wide receiver. I have the position battles on the Titans in front of me. GM, let's handicap who we think is in the lead right now at some of these positions as the position battles are winding down in camp. And we will do that next on Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.